Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other. The date today is the 1st of August and the time is 16:09. If I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
My name is Nick Barlow, that's Nicholas James Barlow. My date of birth is 18th of August 1972 and I live in Colchester in Essex.
You live there, is that where you're from originally?
No, originally I came from Redditch in the Midlands, just south of Birmingham. Grew up there. After that I spent a year in America on a youth exchange scheme. Then I lived in Wales for 5 years at university and after that, and then I moved to Essex in the mid-90s, in Colchester, and I've been there since.
Right, gosh. So you've been all over the place.
I've roamed around a bit, yeah.
Brilliant. And now, of course, you're here today in Trafalgar Square.
Yeah.
Can I take you back to when you first heard about One Another and ask you what it was that sparked your interest and motivated you to apply?
I found it interesting. I think generally over the years since I've started the Fourth Plinth project, the various things that have been on there, I found it interesting. And then when I heard about this, it was just sort of, oh, again, it was a interesting idea. And I applied just sort of on the grounds that I thought, oh, why not? There's nothing to lose to applying for it. And my theory on that is because I tend to have sort of bad luck, never win competitions and prize draws and that sort of thought, well, I'll enter for it, but there's no way I'm going to be one of the ones selected. And so when I found out, which about a month ago today exactly, I got up and yeah, saw there was an email from there saying, congratulations, you've been selected. Just like kind of, oh, hold on, has there been a mistake? So yeah, but so yeah, I think it was just sort of out of the sort of, well, I might as well, you know, and the, yeah, so, and then I did, and then I got chosen, which
fantastic.
Was...
Is this the kind of thing that you would normally do? Or, I mean, I know it's a once in a lifetime, very unusual circumstance, but do you like to go and do things out of the ordinary?
I try to. Yeah, I think when people ask you, you know, do you want to try this? I try and say yes more than no, you know, just to try things out. You know, as long as there's no harm. Or, you know, if someone says, do you want to go bungee jumping or parachute jump, then I'm a bit more wary. But on something like this, it just sounds like something that would be interesting, and again, to the other to come, you can tell people I was involved in that. And it seemed to, you know, not seem to miss the chance to be part of. And again, I wasn't expecting that I would be one of the ones who got, you know, pulled out at random.
Mm-hmm. And when you found out that you were indeed going to be a plinther, as it's now termed, how did you decide how to use your hour?
I think that's been one. I'm still not entirely sure what I'm going to be doing in that hour when I'm up there. It sort of evolved over time. I was sort of thinking of things to do, and then I was watching, you know, I think it's been quite good in being able to watch what other people have done. But then sort of realised over time that I'm not, even though I wanted to do this, I'm not a huge exhibitionist. So I'm not the sort of way, I'm not going to do something, you know, I've seen a lot of people doing the, you know, big elaborate costumes or acts and that, and you know, I can't sing, I can't play instruments and that. And I have the feeling that if I stood there trying to read something out, I'd just look like the madman shouting. So I decided, I was thinking of doing something low key, so it sort of evolved around the fact that, well, you know, I like sitting down, so I'll take a chair with me, and just I've got various bits to do while I'm up there, so it's not just going to be me sitting there, and there is, you know, some stuff for the people there. But I think it's more than it just sort of evolved over the time, and just seeing that and just thinking, well, what do I want to do, what do I like to communicate? And so sort of what I've got is there's various quotes or sayings and speeches and things that I like, and I've printed them out to paper, which I'm then going to, while I'm up there, fold into paper aeroplanes and throw out for whoever finds it to take with it the way they want, you know, whatever they want from it. So they may find, oh, it's a paper aeroplane, or they may actually open it up and read what was in there. So, yeah. But it's up to them. So,
are there any particularly famous speeches or quotes or things that you've referenced?
I think some of them are slight. I haven't gone for anything, you know, any sort of the hugely famous. There's one, Martin Luther King one, which I like, which I just have on my emails at the end, sort of the signature. Is it, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. One of that. And there's a few of it, and there's that. But yeah, the rest tend to be, so they're slightly more obscure, but they're ones I've sort of found in books or films, or actually not films, but books or poems or whatever, that's something said or in songs that just have lights, that just sort of, you know, chipped a chord somewhere, and that, there's one there, it's from Kurt Vonnegut, Mother Night, which was the first one I did on, I think, which we are what we pretend to be, so we must be careful about what we pretend to be, which I think in a way it's actually quite relevant to what you do on the plinth, I think, because in a way you are pretending to be something, and so that's the memory people will have of you. And so sort of being something that's not you, then you can sort of almost in a way get locked into people thinking something differently about you.
Have you come as yourself today?
I think so, yes. Well, I've come as whatever myself is today, yes. I sort of tend to change with the hour or with the week. I'm not really consistent in these things, but yeah. But then, as well as the paper aeroplanes, I have got a few bags of jelly babies to throw out. There's the one thing that sort of, back from my youth, has been a big Doctor Who fan, and so it's my one chance in life to stand in public and do the Tom Baker thing and go, "Would you fancy a jelly baby?" and give them out to the. So there we are.
So you're a big Doctor Who fan?
Yes. Now, some of my friends have suggested, "Oh, you could go and do it in costume," but again, dress up as your favourite Doctor, and so. But again, that's a bit too. It's something that would have taken a lot of work to put together, and I think. You can't be sure it's actually going to work, and you're just not going to stand there just feeling like a bit of a fool. So I thought, it's best to, go out there as yourself rather than. But for me, it's what works for the individual.
Yeah.
And I think, in a way, that's one of the things I learned from watching this online and watching the film and seeing it now. It's what works for the person that's up there. And I think that's the important thing for it. It should be about the person that's there. And I think. In a way, some of the, sort of the comments I've read about it, where people are saying, "Oh, you're not being entertaining enough." It's like, it should be about the person there. It's not about entertaining the crowd. I think, in a way, I think that does reveal something about our society, is that people, you stand up there, people expect, "Well, why aren't you entertaining us?" Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Completely. Speaking about you, speaking about the person.
Yeah.
Could you say a little bit about yourself? About what do you do for a living? For example, you mentioned in your email that you have that caption, the quote, the Martin Luther King quote. That sounds.
Yeah.
Is that went to your work, or is that?
It was just one I saw. That I remember seeing it as in a magazine article. Isn't it? It was just after 9/11. 20 years out. It's basically don't descend into rage. It's a more elaborate version of an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind, and that sort of thing. But about me, I'm 36. Still 36, a couple of weeks to my birthday. Actually, in Colchester, where I live, I'm a local councillor, I was elected first 2 years ago. And so that's what I'm doing most of the time at the moment. I'm also a writer, which is more stare at blank screen and waiting for, I think, is the Douglas Adams phrase. Was writing is easy, you just stare at a blank sheet of paper until words bleed out of your forehead. So do that, but I haven't sold or properly completed anything to sell yet for that. I represent my community and the local council, and that again, that was something that came as an opportunity with, say, I'd been involved with the local Liberal Democrats there delivering stuff and various bits, and then a few years ago they said, Ken, who was councillor, he's retiring, would you be interested in standing to, I thought about it, and then it was like with this, it's like, well, say yes and see where it goes rather than say no, and then what's the saying, always regret the things you've done, never the things you haven't done, to try it out, and I enjoy doing that at the moment. Whether I'll keep doing it for years and years to come, I don't know. Again, it depends what person I am the next time those decisions come up. If something something else more interesting may appear. But the Martin Luther King is just basically, I think it's because I've been using the internet for quite a while. It's back in the days when everyone had a big, tend to have quite elaborate signatures at the end of their email and that. And so I was sort of left with that and having a sort of a quote on the end of it. Again, sending things like that. It's like with the paper aeroplanes, was something interesting on there. You just send that out into the crowd, and it's up to the individual what they do, what effect it has. With some people it may seep in and do good in the long run.
Yeah. How do you find being a local councillor?
I think it's interesting. I think it's one of the things. It's one of those jobs that it expands to fill the time available, because you can always find little things that come up and do that. But it's very interesting job to do, and you meet a lot of people you wouldn't meet otherwise. And it's quite a responsibility as well, because I represent Castle Ward, it's the very centre of Colchester, which is the oldest town in Britain, and so it's got things like, you know, there are things in there like the old castle and the Roman walls and just real bits of our sort of country's heritage in a way. And in a way, that was one of the things I did in a way think of trying to represent it there somewhere. And I thought, in a way, I know in a way I'm elected to represent them, but it felt presumptuous to sort of be standing up there and go, I am the voice of culture, so don't think of doing that. And then it also came down to, I couldn't really think of any ideas other than dressing as a Roman, so I didn't really fancy standing up there in a centurion's outfit. So.
And as a councillor, is there anything in particular that you're most passionate about in your town, or in some kind of, is there a particular policy or issue that you really, that you have as a kind of top priority?
But the one thing I think because of the area I represent, it is sort of protecting the history and the heritage and keeping those things alive, you know. And it, but I think as well, it's also keeping it as a live thing rather than just sort of locking it all behind a cage. But that, you know, and trying to find ways to, in a way, you know, promote the town and make people aware of what sort of history we live in. And, you know, because there's stuff like they discovered recently there, a Roman chariot racing circus buried under part of the town, which is the only one they found in Britain, and things like that. And it's trying to find the money to be able to use that to actually tell people what it was to go on. And but, yeah, it's issues like that. But then, and also, I think just generally, because I try not to be the sort of politician who thinks he knows all the answers. So trying to sort of, yeah, it's trying to actually get more people involved and make the process open. And yeah, and I think one thing I've found is there's a lot of cynicism, and, you know, quite rightly, I think, okay, so it's, you know, about consultations and trying to participate, because everyone's like, oh, you've already decided. It's actually trying to get over that, no, we haven't, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's trying to find ways to do that, to actually open the system and, you know, let people take back the power that's theirs anyway, I think, rather than, because if you say give it back, you know, you assume it's yours to give, when, you know, it's just actually, you know, again, it's giving stuff to people to do with what they want and not judging them in a way.
Yeah. And what, just for kind of historical context for now, for the future, what constituency, what party is that?
Liberal Democrat.
It is Lib Dem.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's okay. Just, for history.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay. So what are on a personal level? What's your what are your interests or hobbies? What, you said you're a writer. Could you maybe say a bit more about what you like to write?
What I'm trying to write is fiction and stories and that. And the problem is, I find, is that with stories, is I keep thinking of new ones, and the new stories is always the more interesting one. So you sort of start something, and also the problem is when you start writing a story, you're fixing it into a certain point, because when it's still in your head and you're creating it, it changes and evolves. When you start writing, it fixes it down, and then not sure if that's right. Oh, but I'll go and start on the other one instead. And I think that's the problem, is you're getting that. And as well as writing, it's a good choice, it's a video. I walk a lot as well. And one thing I did 3 years ago was I did walk from John O'Groats to Land's End for charity, because it was 2005, my brother died from a brain tumour. So I did that to raise money for the Brain Research Trust, which does research into brain conditions and tumours and that. And it's also, again, it's been one of those things that's always been in the back of my mind as, oh, that's something. Yeah, one of these days I'd like to do a long walk like that, and so sort of the opportunity came up to do that, and so it was, again, sort of, well, why not? You know, and then, yeah.
Did you do that on your own?
Generally on my own. Yeah, I had some friends join me at various bits on the way, and sort of, you know, stopped over at friends and family houses and that at different points, but most of it was on my own. Yeah. So, but I think that was, again, that sort of thing. I'm quite, again, sort of not being exhibitionist in that sort of thing, I can sort of, you know, spend time in my own head quite happily. Yeah. I think so. I don't think I'd gone mad by the end of it. So.
That must have been quite an experience to do that, and I imagine it took a long time.
It took 74 days in total, including rest days and everything. But yeah, but I hadn't rushed it. You can do it in like 5 or 6 weeks if you sort of rush and really push and just stick on roads. The main roads, and I took sort of the back ways and a bit of winding route and that, so it's over 1,000 miles in the end. So, I think the problem was sort of by the end of it, you end up in this sort of thing where you really have sort of hunkered down a bit and you become a bit of a walking machine. And so sort of by the end of it, sort of get up, walk, go to bed, get up, walk, go to bed. And so it was a bit straight. I think it was more afterwards when sort of hit you, it was like, oh, God, you know, the first day finished, like, oh, don't have to get up and walk today. Don't have to look at the map to see where I'm going and things like that. So,
no, yeah. Gosh. and who's here today to support you?
Well, I've got my girlfriend with me, my mum's travelled down with friends, and I've got various friends I've sort of invited who've said they'll come, so it's whether with the rain they're going to say, oh no, we'll just sit at home and watch it on the internet. So, but I've got quite a few friends who said they'll, you know, live in London or around, who said, well, I think it's also the prospect of going to the pub afterwards has drawn some of them in. So I should hopefully have about, you know, and various friend and family said they're going to watch on the internet as well, so but should hopefully have about 10 or 15 right. people here as well to watch. So
it'll be quite an occasion,
hopefully. Hopefully, you know, they're not all driven away by the flash floods that come through or something.
And who are you doing this for, do you think?
I think who am I doing it for? That's it. It's fun. I would say it's sort of for myself in a way, and then I think it's the general bit of for art, for posterity, for history, and just I'm trying to find a way to sound it without sounding arrogant, but, you know, it's not in a such for the crowd that's there. It's like I was saying, it's that sort of bit of the people demanding the entertainment. It's a, I think you can only do anything that's art as such for yourself. Mm. You know, the art, you know, you have to be selfish in a way for things to be. I'm sorry, this sounded quite pretentious, is that? No, it's all right. Yeah. No, I think it's just a bit I'm sort of conscious of myself for sort of trying to guess. But no, it's, yeah, you have to do it, I think, for yourself. And I think otherwise, I think you do get, again, it's about you pretend to be. And if so, you've got to be careful about what you pretend to be. Yeah. And so you do it, again, doing this for myself and just to go up there and be myself in a search rather than trying to pretend to be something else.
Yeah, brilliant. Good for you. and can I ask about your ambitions? In life,
yeah.
What are your ambitions? I imagine you've kind of partially was being an MP at one of your ambitions.
Being a councillor, it was not as such. It wasn't really. It wasn't something I'd ever really sort of gone out to get. And maybe in the years to come, I might have done. It was sort of the fact. I think in a way, it was sort of the fact that it was offered to me. People said, "Oh, we'd like you to stand," because there was, you know, that bit of sort of, you know, the people you shouldn't give political power to are the people who want it. Yeah, by standing for it, yeah. And so I think in a way, so there's that being, yeah, and doing that. I think it's also just it would be good to sort of finally finish a book and sell it and be published, and that, and then, yeah, generally just enjoy life. I think I've always found in terms of ambition and work, it's I've always been in the group of people sort of who work to live. So I work, so it gives me the time and the money and whatever to do other things. You know, yeah. Rather than feeling that I have to, oh God, I have to work, I have to be something. Yeah. Sort of, yeah, I think you can fill the time with yourself. I think, yeah, and that, and so, yeah, I'd love to, you know, be able to finish stuff and sell it and make a nice living in that so I can go and travel and do other things rather than just sort of, yeah, the writing. I mean, I enjoy it and I like kind of the stories, but it's not an end in and of itself.
Yeah.
Such, right?
Yeah. What was it like growing up where you grew up? What was the area like?
Redditch. It's very, quite really sort of a generic English town. It's a new town in the Midlands. It's sort of a lot of people. So there weren't really many routes in the town. So a lot of it was quite new and all people who moved there from Birmingham quite recently. And I would suspect you could probably swap it round with various people's childhoods and it'd take a while to notice the difference between that. The one thing I did find interesting was David Mitchell, the writer, not the comedian. He wrote this one book. It would seem me and him are about the same age, and he grew up in Malvern, which is about 15 miles away, and he wrote his latest book, Black Swan Green, which is based on his childhood around there. And it was quite interesting with some, I think obviously some of it's a bit elaborated for the book, but there's other bits of it reading and thinking, oh yes, that rings a bell, because it was that age, it was the culture, it was the music, the TV, all those sort of things that influenced on you at that age in that way. And I think it was quite strange in a way, and that sort of realising that other people had a childhood quite similar to mine. So, yeah.
What was your music? What were your musical interests?
Oh, God, when I was 10, I think Queen was what I was into when I was 10. Then when I grew up and got older, I was a heavy metal kid when I was older. I think I still had the long hair till a while ago, and then over time, so I think when I was like 15, 16 years, as you are with it, you're very absolutist as a teenager. Just like, so yes, rock music, that's all I'm into. I'm not into anything else. Everything else is rubbish. Then as you get old, you realise, well, no, that's all right. And then that's all right. And then sort of spread out and you realise you don't have to sort of plant your flag in one musical camp forever. So.
great. And have you thought about what impact this project might have in terms of like a wider sense of kind of historical value in a way? Do you think
have one? Yeah, I was talking outside with someone about it. I think because it is random, because there are 2,400 people chosen at random from Britain, it's not, they had to, it's not completely random. You didn't choose, they had to apply and be the sort of people to this, that. But it's the fact there wasn't any application process beyond applying. There was no filtering out to sort of try and get, this person's interesting, that person's not. It's just, we've got those people. And then, I think it's just as a sort of a sample of grab those people and see where. And then in terms of culture, it's sort of, what happens when you take these people and put them on a plinth in Trafalgar Square? Yeah. It's sort of the annoyed scientific experiment of what happens. But also in terms of, the interviews. And I think as well, the process of being chosen, it does make you think about, who am I? What do I want to do? And it just sort of creates an interesting process. And I think it's sort of talking with other people who haven't applied, and they're sort of saying, if I was up there, I'd do this and that. Yeah, and it's quite interesting to get that perspective. And I think so generally as a project, it sort of has.
Have you told people in your community that you're taking part?
Not as a counsellor. Well, I've sort of written about it on my website and on Twitter and Facebook. So people who know me and that and sort of follow up. But no, again, it's not been something. I think it's just the self-publicity. I get very self-conscious, and it's quite awkward when you're trying to sort of campaign in elections. When you sort of go, vote for me, but you don't really have to. But it'd be I'm very hard at doing the force. So again, it felt to me quite false to sort of go out and say, everyone, come and look at me, stand on the plinth. I'll tell my friends because it's, if they're my friends and I want to see it and come to the after, really. That's the.
Lovely.
So,
what's your website? Would you like to mention it?
My website, it's www.nickbarlow.com, and I'm on Twitter as Nick J. Barlow. Is the one.
Okay. So there. And is that's a website for your work?
It's got various photos and that on there. It's got some bits of writing and that I've done, and I think there's a failed sitcom pilot me and a friend put up on there. She thought, we're not going to sell it, we'll just put it there. And some people have found it amusing. So, again, made some people laugh, so that's good. And the blog and stuff like that. But it just sort of, I had a few years ago, just thought, I need a website. Because I had some pictures of what I wanted to share with people, so I ended up getting a website. And then, I've got this website, might as well put a blog on there, might as well put this. And so, again, it sort of arose by random rather than any sort of great planning. So,
and what do you tend to write about on your blog?
I haven't actually written on there that much recently. I started doing it around 2003, which was back when it was still quite new. And I think after a while, there is the sort of sense of burnout. And you realise that sort of getting up every day to comment on. It tended to be sort of news and current affairs, but also arts and books and TV and films, whatever sort of caught my attention at the time. But sort of faded over the. I still post occasional bits on there if something interests me or there's. But I tend to actually now mostly post stuff on Twitter, which is just because it's much more quicker and instant and snap judgments on things. And it's quite interesting in a way to to do that and sort of share stuff that way rather than the quite laboured process of I've got to sit down and think about. Because again, this thing with blogs, especially when there's sort of people doing political blogs, there's a lot of people think I'm like a journalist, I'm ready to do it. And so they sit down for hours, and I've done that myself, and for a post you think great and 50 people have read that, and you think really they're sure there were better things I could have been doing with my time.
It's such a recent phenomenon, Twitter, isn't it?
It's just suddenly
come out of nowhere. Is there anything else that you would like to say about today, about taking part in or about you?
Not that I can think of at the moment. I'm sure something as soon to leave sync will come to mind. No, I'm just hoping the weather doesn't rain too much. I think that's the only thing that's in my mind at the moment. So.
Fantastic. Well, Well, I'm sure it won't. Fingers crossed anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's very much.
That's okay.